pain, a prison, to look inward. As we navigate church life, as we navigate being a community of believers, how sad it would be if somebody came in looking downcast and sad, and they one person says, "I'm looking sad today. What's going on? Can I pray for you? Can I cheer you up? Can I take you for a meal?" People say, "Why do you do the welcome thing halfway? It's just so people get an opportunity to be recognized. Why do you do house churches? Why do you split people up into different groups? It's just so people get an opportunity to be recognized if they're in a sad moment. That somebody can say to them, look, I've just noticed you're looking sad." But you might feel, I'm there in that right place. I've got my own issues. But hearing your own issues doesn't it disqualify you from ministering into somebody else's situation. And then if each one of us was to go and say, well, I've got my own issues, so I'm unhelpful to everybody else. Look, how much ministry would actually get done? Because I'm going through stuff as well. And so because I'm going through stuff, I might say, well, I'd have fancy preaching this morning because I'm going through my own pain, my own prison. I'm sure Paul Dunn would say, well, I'd have really fancied leading worship this morning through my own pain. But ministry is not about considering yourself and your own pain. It's about ministering despite your own circumstances. We are carrying somebody. They're just so inward thinking that the conversation always goes on about themselves. It's a picture of the homeless person, but the business person walking past them on his phone, trying to get away with paying tax right next to a guy that's lost arthing. But he's got no concern with the guy that's lost dying. They're just talking about how much they can get away with. Like the person, if their neighbor's house was burning down, their primary concern is, how does that affect my garden? Your neighbor's house is burning down, but my floors are getting destroyed here. The person that would say things like, well, Kevin, how's your week been? He would say, well, I've had a car this week. And they would say, oh, well, I've had a flu for the last 3 weeks. Well, how's it going this week? Oh, about a sore back. Oh, tell me about it. I've had a broken back for 3 months. And their pain always seems greater than yours. Oh, I suffer a week. How's it going this week, Kevin? I've just been suffering a migraine the last 2 days. Oh, tell me about it. I've been living with half a brain for 3 years. It's like their pain trumps your pain, and you're not getting any sympathy, are you? Because the conversation just goes back to them, and they're always worse off than you. But people have got to change. Now, I'm not saying there's no time. There's a time this guy's were sad. There's a time to be ministered to. But there's also a time like Joseph, that even though he was in prison, even though he was in pain, even though he was hurting, even though he'd been rejected and wrongly accused, his whole destiny, his whole future was wrapped up in this one conversation that is as simple as this. I've noticed that you're sad. Isn't that amazing? Only me that thinks that's amazing. Well, there goes a hell week of meditation on a scripture. I've noticed that you're sad. I've noticed that you're out of sorts. Let's get into the habit of noticing other people's painful moments. It could open the door to your promotion. It could open the door to your destiny. It could open the door to stepping up. It could open the door, even through being a while rejected, being remembered as a person that cared enough to ask, I notice you're sad. Can I help you? I notice you're sad. You want to catch up through the week. I notice you're sad. You want prayer. I notice you're nae weel. I notice you're nae walking right. Can I pray for you? I notice that you used to be so full of confidence, now your head's always down. I wonder if we can meet. I wonder if I could do something for you. I wonder. I hinged on that one initial conversation. Why are you so sad? And then it goes on. Because they had dreams. And Joseph was a gifted dream interpreter. But yet, when I read the story of Joseph Gifton, I wonder how easy it would have been for Joseph to have nothing to do with dreams for the rest of his life. Because Joseph had a dream right at the very start of this story and said, I've had a dream, I'm going to be prominent. I've had a dream, my brothers are going to serve me. And then it ended up a few years later, because of the dream, he ended up in a pit, he ended up getting sold. Because of the dream, he ended up in Potiphar's house. It was all because of the dream. And I wonder, as he stood and listened to this dream, I wonder if it was me, if I says, look, I've experienced dream interpretation before, guys. Not happening. Because I had a dream that I was going to rise to prominence, and here I am, prison with you guys. I wonder how easy it would have been for him, because of the hurts of the past, to say, I'm not engaging with that gift again. But yet he turns around and says, God gives interpretation or dreams. How easy it is if God has given you a gift, and it may be creativity, it may be serving, it may be preaching, it may be teaching, it may be laying hands on the sick so that they would recover, it may be deliverance. It's maybe something simple. It's maybe poetry. It's maybe music. But God has given you a gift. Do you believe that? God has given you a gift, people. Some he's given 5, some 3, some 2, some 1. But he's given you something with his own character. Not just to bless you, but to bless other people and to bring his heart to communities. He's given you something. But I wonder how much people's gifting remains dormant because they tried it and they didn't see any fruit. Because like Joseph, you find yourself in a prison and you find yourself, hold on, I can't see any fruit to my gifting. I wonder how much people should be preaching, but they tried it and they felt that nobody was listening. I wonder how much people should be teaching, but when they tried to teach, they felt as though it fell on deaf ears. I wonder how much people should be writing new songs and music and worship, but they didn't, because they felt that so when they tried it, nobody caught it on quick enough. And they said, well, I'm not engaging with that gift anymore. How many people should be serving in capacity or welcoming people on the door on teas and coffees, behind the scenes serving, but the dinner, because I thought, well, I tried that once. I had a bit of friction with somebody, and I thought, well, I'm not doing that. Because you carry a gift in for the Lord. You carry something of value, something of worth. Something of the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's some of you have just to take on the attitude of Joseph or saying, well, maybe it didn't work before, but God has still given me a gift. And get re-engaged with the gift of the Holy Spirit God has given you. Whether it be speaking in tongues, interpretation, maybe it is a gift of healing. Maybe you prayed for somebody, you felt, I've got the gift of healing upon my life, and you studied the scriptures and you felt as though God was speaking to you, and you engage every time you read the word of God. When Jesus heals somebody, you just say, I would just love to see that. But you did pray for somebody, and it didn't seem as though they recovered. You thought, oh, well, that's not very good. That's disappointing. And because that happened, you thought, I can't, if I can pray for another person again. If this is what's going to happen, I'd rather not. And we see Joseph, gifted dream interpreter. But we see, wasn't he really matching up with where he was at in life? But Ken, something he said, I am still going to interpret this 2 large dreams. He could have said, did I get my started with dreams? Did I get my started with it? It's caused me so much pain. It's caused me so much hurt. But yeah, he got re-engaged and he says, Ken, something, this is still a gift for the Lord. Even if I did see no fruit presently in my life through the gift I received, I'm still going to gain a faithful interpretation. Discouragement. Such a life sucker, isn't it? When you feel as though you're not getting the fruit to gifting, when you don't feel as though you're getting the fruit in your workplace and life, when that discouragement comes in, you almost go into lockdown and think, I just don't want to do this again because I opened myself up to heartache. Maybe some of you just need a resurrection power in your life to redeem if it's maybe lost through the devil's tactics to snuff out that gifting. And you will preach again. You will testify again. You will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will cast out demons. You will take authority in Jesus' name. You will write songs that people will listen to. You will write songs that heaven will dance over and angels rejoice over. Fuck cares if people aren't singing it. Interest yourself. We have heaven singing it. You want to sing it. You write it. And get re-engaged with what God is doing and want to do in your life. Even if it hasn't worked out in the past. Moving on. Oh, man. Father's getting bad news. Ninos. Father's getting good news. For us. Is this microphone turned on this morning? Oh yeah, just sleepy heated. Was boxing on at 3 o'clock this morning and some of you have been watching that. Father's getting good news. Yes, good news is brilliant. When you can say to somebody, you've got good news. Doctors love getting good news. You've got the all clear. I like getting good news to my kids. Holiday time. Yes, good news. Then we have school. Although the difficulty with Isaac is he kind of compute. When he hears holidays, he thinks we're going to wear somewhere amazing. So there's a bit of tension in the house yesterday because he was like, far we're going on holidays. I says, well, never. He said, but it's holiday time. I said, but holiday is absence of school. Doesn't mean you're going to get trips anyway. I want to go on holiday time, Dad. So good news turned out to be bad news for him for a while. I'm sure he'll still be thankful on Monday morning when he's not getting trailed to his bed. The cupbearer, and lead baker. Two dreams, two meanings. Joseph gave the first thing to the cup bearer. I've got good news for you. In 3 days, hallelujah, you got to be restored, you got to be redeemed. You don't need to go to prison again. Please remember me when this happens. Chief baker thinks, good interpretation. Joseph, give me an interpretation for my dream because it's got to be so amazing. Bad news for you. 3 days, you got to be impaled on a stick. There's something about it that the gospel comes into. That Joseph was a faithful minister because he faithfully gave the good news. And again, something, he faithfully gave the bad news. I don't think he gave me pleasure in getting the bad news, but that was the interpretation. And how easy it is in church to give the good news. And it is good news. It's the gospel of good news. Whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. It's good to share on a Sunday morning full of good news. Jesus is Redeemer. With the appeals for healing, he can heal you. You want a plan and a purpose, he can give you a plan and a purpose. You want hope, he's a hope of all nations. You want peace, he's a Prince of Peace. You want joy, he's a joy giver. It's good news. Good news. But is there any side to the gospel that's bad news? Oh, yeah, would I really want to hear that? Is there any side to eternity? We have a side on the other side of the coin that's actually bad news. That we don't really want to share, we don't really want to speak about that. But unfortunately there is. This is not being said through a finger wagging, shouting pleasure and pain, preacher. But of course, if whosoever believes in him shall not perish, will receive eternal life. That's eternity in heaven. That's the good news. The bad news is that whosoever does not believe in him will perish. And there will be eternal separation. We can't hear the good news without the bad news. And the good news, in light of the bad news, the good news should get a lot better for us. It gives an urgency. Because the reality is that I wasn't just somebody that was on drugs. The reality was I was a hopeless sinner separated from a loving father. That if I didn't believe in him through my lifespan of life, then the destiny is far different for heaven. It's eternal separation. It's eternal condemnation. It's eternal suffering and eternal pain. That there's no second chance or third chance. That moment is gone. Is that good news? No. Well, that's bad news. But there's something about being a Christian, that our eyes need to be on the long-term results and consequences to life on earth. That there should be an urgency, kenning the good news and kenning the bad news, to make people aware, hey, there's good news. Jesus came to save you. You don't need to pay £1 million to get into heaven. You don't need to rely on your own righteousness to get into heaven. You just rely on him. He's made it so easy that you've just to believe and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. The power of the blood wash out your life for forgiveness of sins. And as I read it in 1 Peter, that he hugs your security, your salvation. He hugs it dear to him. He's got to save you. He's got to rescue you. That things are pain in the prisons we go through is a testing of faith to remain faithful to him, because he is coming back and there is a day of judgment, and there's got to be a separation like sheep for goats. Them that believe that Jesus is Christ says he is, but them that do not believe go into eternity without him. And that, it says 3 days for here, there's a separation. Good news, bad news. Because of the 3 days between crucifixion and resurrection, there's good news and there's bad news. And we need to be faithful to share good news and being aware and being faithful to sharing. Actually, there's bad news as well. And I would love to say because of the crucifixion and resurrection, there's only good news that Abdi's gotten to heaven, so just relax, chill out, smoke doobies. But because of the 3 days of crucifixion and resurrection, there's good news. The other side of the coin is bad news. And we see that Joseph said, I'm going to tell you good news, but for you, I'm going to tell you bad news. And we need to navigate with our lives and our witness and testimony and how we deal with people that didn't yet believe. I take no pleasure in saying that. It's not a pleasurable message. It's not, hey, great, got good news for you. People's got to go to hell. It's painful. It's a truth that I didn't want to happen. I didn't want it to be true. Everything within me, my feelings and emotions, I don't want it to be true to think that somebody could go to a place of suffering. But truth is not navigated to deal with my feelings. It doesn't bow to my feelings. Truth is truth, whether I like it or not, whether I feel happy about it or not, and whether Joseph was happy about this scenario or not. He says, I'm going to just give you the truth. And of course, there's differences, because we presume that the baker was guilty, and sometimes Jesus makes the guilty go free just because they believe in him. It's good news. It's also bad news. We need to leave this place. We need to leave this place with a sense of eternity in our hearts, don't we? I wonder how the cupbearer and the baker walked that walk to the king, because the king summoned him. One probably felt, well, I'm resting on the word. I'm going to be set free. The other maybe felt, this is maybe not going to work out good for me, since I fear and trembling. Again, that the king awaits us. And every one of us is walking down this corridor of life. One, believing in the Lord and rejoicing in his salvation, kenning our security in him. But other people thinking, They are wanting to meet the king. They are wanting to meet this God. They are wanting to think about Jesus. They are wanting to think that there's a king room moment to await to be summoned. Well, people, this is the reality. Am I speaking the truth? According to the word of God, Paul urged Timothy, preach the whole counsel of God. He said, I didn't just pick out the bits that people like to make them feel happy. The whole counsel is, well, there's good news and there's bad news. We need to be careful that we say Beth and be faithful as Joseph was. Get through the pain. Get the bigger picture. Realize that your suffering is temporary and you've got Jesus. Suffering is temporary, but eternity awaits. For your suffering will just be a memory and Jesus has got to wipe every tear from your eye. You get through the pain, you get an eternal perspective and you're at prison moment. You think, I need to think this through. I kind of turn my back on God because one day I'm going to meet the king. If it's greater than my security, if it's greater than my pain, is Jesus Christ. And he can comfort me in this prison and get me through. We consider it for an eternal perspective. Far else would we go but depressed into Jesus. Finishing on us, Joseph was rejected but not forgotten. Taking a little diversion. At the end of chapter 40, remember Joseph says, remember me, cupbearer, remember how faithful I am. Remember the interpretation. Remember it came true. Say to Pharaoh, I came this guy, Joseph, he's a good guy. I want to get out of this prison. But he says that, scripture says that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph in verse 23. Never gave him a second thought. And I got to thinking how easy it is to forget people that's good to us. I could imagine that this cupbearer received the good news, went before the king, and if he rested on the words, news got to get redemption, free from prison. And that happened. Celebration, let's drink some wine, let's have a party. He got carried away with himself and forgot this little lad, Joseph, that made it all happen for him, interpreted his dream. I started to think how easy it is to forget people that was faithful enough to say, why are you so sad? Can I help you? Can I take you out for a moment? Can I pray for you? And how sometimes church is navigated around the hurting places and the unforgiveness. And if I say this to you, or did I appeal? Just doing a forgiveness appeal. If whoever's hurt you in the past, let's deal with it. Oh, well, this guy called my name when I was at primary school. I've never really dealt with it. Now I need to deal with it. I'm just going to, it's forgiveness. I'm 65 now. I remember in primary school, I didn't have shoes. Mom was poor. And I remember what they said about me. I've always had that. It's affected my life for 60 years. Oh, my mom wasn't really there for me growing up, and so I really need that hurt and pain is so deep and so rooted that I really need forgiveness. I really need to forgive her. I'm maybe 72 and got grandkids myself, but there's that deep rooted sense, so I need to forgive him. And there's this thing, or let's think about how the hurts that's been caused and we need to deal with it and forgiveness. Well, I tell you, that is good. But we never ever say, let's think a moment of what's been good to us. Let's do a thanking ministry. Let's do an honouring ministry. Let's hear an appeal. What's been good to you the last 15 years? Oh, I don't care, not nobody really. I'm a self-made man. Really? Hey, one person has been good to you the last 15 years. I bet your name mine and well, I was this guy at school that noticed I had no shoes and gave me a pair. I was this teacher in my school when I was hurting, she teened my hand and asked if I was okay. We don't mind these things so quick, do we? Oh, the hurt and pain, I could list them. I've been to every deliverance course. I've been to Encounter Weekends to list. Oh, the hurt and pain, Abdul Cosma. I just set it on fire at the end. Hallelujah. Dealt with under the blood. Hallelujah. But why do we need to speak on? Father's been good to you. Remember him. Thank him. Or we can say, why did the cupbearer? He just forgot about Joseph. It's human nature. We forget about people that gave us our apprenticeship when we didn't have the qualifications. We forget about the person that knocked on our door. We forget about the person where we was gone. Our faces were sad and messaged us on Facebook and says, how are you? I'm praying for you. Far too easy to forget stuff like that, isn't it? Far too easy. I wonder if we just love the victim mentality in church, and our ministry is about being, I want to be the victim. You ken that when David got his mighty warriors before they became mighty warriors, he got all the depressed people, all the hurting people, all the victimized people into the cave of Adullam. He said he started to train them. But the cave of Adullam is for a season. Well, I tell you, if you've been a Christian for like our 5 years, and you're still trying to forgive the people that hurt you like 16 years ago, that's a problem. Like, that's dealt with. Get your sozo dealt with, move on. Then I go round in the circle, I still need to forgive him. I'll just go to another meeting, I'll just ask for forgiveness and to forgive him. Move on. The cave is only supposed to be for a moment. And in that time, you have to get trained and equipped to bring blessing. And we love the victim mentality. Oh, Abdi's been bad to man. I need to heal and restore for that badness. But if we changed it in the church and started speaking about no victim, let's be victors. Let's say, overwhelming victory is mine through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And everything that has gone before, every hurt and pain has been paid for through the cross of Calvary and through the sprinkling of his blood. And I refuse to be confined for hurts of the past, and I'm going to be a blessing. And instead of speaking about how much people have hurt me, even in a place of pain, I've got to remember them that's been good to me, and I'm going to thank him and bring honor to a culture of negativity sometimes. And I puff out my chest, and I go to Tesco's and buy thank you cards. And get a pen, because a pen is more powerful than the sword. And take a moment to thank people that have been good to us. How different the world would be. It's a change from being a baby Christian to a mature Christian. There is a time to burn up all that stuff. And there's a time to deal with your past. The quicker you can do it, the better. But there's a time to come from that place and to come out the cave of Adullam and say, I'm ready for warfare. I'm ready to bless some people and extend the kingdom. I'm ready to thank people. I'm ready to honor people. I'm ready to proclaim this message of Jesus as victor. My picture of Jesus isn't it somebody that just wallowed in pain and just help me, help me, help me. The picture of Jesus is somebody that in spite of pain gave honor, gave thanksgiving. He took his disciples a while we am present to worship Heavenly Father. Being rejected yet not forgotten. Then I try and surround yourself by bad news. It infects the soul. Then I just surround yourself with people that will enter into your circle of misery. But get in a house church, get people that will champion you on and say, come on, better than us. It's forgiven, washed in the blood. Let's move on. Let's mature as Christians. Let's be share joy. Share the good news, share the bad news, but do it with a spirit that is right and generous. Here in Mass morning, sometimes in the getting through the pain, it's difficult again in that prison moments to look inward, to then notice the sad people. But push through. Notice the other people around about you are looking for hope. Let's be faithful ministers and ministering the gift that God has given us. Let's be faithful ministers and sharing the good news, aware of the bad news and being faithful. Let's have eternity before our minds, before our hearts, and navigate this life. It's so temporary. People park their park lunch, go to work in the morning, then I return. Life is so fragile, and people say, well, what does your God think about that, Kevin? My God's very clear. Your life in this earth is temporary. There will be suffering, there will be pain. You're appointed at a time that you will die. Bible's very clear, he doesn't fudge it. But in that time, you need to believe the good news. Maybe you're in here this morning. You're on the side of the bad news. I've got to tell you, get on the good news while you can. You may be lost. You may be looking for hope. You may be, I don't know, never heard the gospel portrayed like us. I want to tell you, your time on earth is short. You are not guaranteed another breath, another moment. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not looking for your money. He's looking for your heart. And he's looking for your voice that will say, Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. If that is you in here this morning, then it's after we close this service, it will be very shortly. You come and speak to us, so we'll lead you in the sinner's prayer, and you confess before a holy God that you're a sinner like every one of us was, that you've fallen short, and you need the power of the cross in your life. Then you'll quickly, within seconds, be on the side of the bad news to the good news, that your suffering is momentary, that joy and pleasure awaits. You meet your Heavenly Father for every day that you take your last breath. And I wonder, in a practical thing, some house churches are still meeting and they'll be asking this question. Take a moment, what can you do practically to just thank somebody? Like, practically. That's an airy-fairy stuff. Like, Jesus is a practical Jesus. Just to thank somebody. It's maybe a card, it may be flowers, it may be chocolate. I like chocolate. Maybe take them out, maybe a voucher. Just say thanks. Thanks for being there. What can you do? Write it down. Get your phone out. Let's do this stuff. Let's just say, well, God's a good God. Let's get caught up in the spiritual stuff. It's got to be an outworking that means I'm going to do that. Imagine if church was navigated in such a way, we didn't just wallow in the cave of Adullam and places of hurt. But if this was a place of honour, of thanksgiving, of patting on the back, of championing on, it would change. It would change the atmosphere. I'm sure it would. Is that right if I just close in prayer? It's okay. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit just if ever there's a truth that he would mark it real in our hearts. And God, Joseph's destiny was wrapped up in one simple conversation. Why are you looking so sad? And God, that our fellowship would be such that no one sad person, somebody that is in a nightmare, that is in a bad dream, that has gone through pain, that wouldn't go unnoticed. That'd be faithful servants of the Lord that would be, in spite of their own pain and own circumstance, would just have that initial conversation. Are you okay? And God, and moving on, for them that are giftings, faith, Jesus, are dormant because of hurt and pain, we break that off in Jesus' name. The hurt and pain would go, and it is paid through the blood of Jesus. And thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And God, we call forth that resurrection Spirit that is within him. We say, you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover, you will teach, you will preach, you will go to the nations, you will write songs, you will be a faithful servant of the Lord, you will do the behind the scenes thing again, you will be on the tea rotter, you will be at the welcoming team. And God, may our sense of past hurts go, and may freedom in Christ come in Jesus' name. And God, help us to be faithful when dealing with bad news as it is in good news. God, we think of the doctor, how he's got to be faithful in sharing good news and bad news, if we didn't share the bad news, that something is wrong with a body that is out of sync. God, you can never treat it. You can never look for an answer. God, help us be faithful ministers of them that are lost. Not to pat them on the back and say, it's okay, you're saved and you're not. But to be faithful ministers, even though it hurts us, even though it's through eyes that will weep or through a heart that is saddened, to say, well, if you haven't got Jesus, then it's terrible suffering, I'm afraid. God, help us to be faithful in sharing the good news of redemption and salvation. And God, right now, Holy Spirit, I just ask you, put people in our hearts that you would want us to thank. And God, that maybe be Christians or maybe not, it is irrelevant. It maybe is that person that gave us our first apprenticeship that nobody else would. It's maybe that school teacher that just seemed to care for us in a moment when our homes were full of uncaring chaos. It's maybe that friend that messaged us faithfully and says thank you. And help us to remember him and display your goodness and kindness in practical ways. May we maybe, like the cupbearer that just quickly forgot the goodness of Joseph, and he just was left in that prison place. God, we have the answer to take people out of prison. And it's maybe just a simple thank you. I remember you. God bless you. And God, may it extend your kingdom. May it see deliverance and people set free from prison places. And we just say, glory to God. You're a good God. You're a good Father. And help us to get through moments of pain and prison places. Be with your people, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's good way to end our service. Class dismissed. Feel free to hang around. We've got the Filipino service at 2. But seriously, if you're that person and you dare believe in Jesus, but this is suddenly making sense, you come and see me. We will lead you in a sinner's prayer and you will be saved in Jesus' name. God bless you. If Nathan could just put on some gentle music to create an ambient atmosphere as we encourage each other.